National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Well, maybe that's good. Maybe that is a sign of mental health, when you look at yourself and you feel young and you feel great. Well, we're going to find out today. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. It's the Fountain of Truth about aging. We're here today with Michael Friedman. He is an MSW. He teaches over at the Columbia School of Social Work. It's very, very prestigious. He is the chair now of the GMHA, Geriatric Mental Health Association in New York City, but he has a wide range of information for us, wherever we are in this world, about our own mental health, and I don't think that that's something we think about. We're inundated with issues of physical fitness, physical health, even spiritual health, but mental health, it's still a little bit fringy. So thank you so much for being with us, Michael.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I think we need a definition here. A geriatric mental health, is it different from mental health in general? What is the niche here that we have to look at, perhaps in ourselves a little differently?
I think that there are older people are different from younger people, and because of that, there are some significant differences in issues related to mental health for older people and for younger people. Probably the most obvious is that the older we get, the more likely we are to experience dementia, which I think is not what we're going to talk about today. But the other big difference is that the older we get, the more likely we are to have physical health problems as a key part of our lives. As a 90-year-old friend of mine says all the time, aging is not good for your health. So we live with chronic health conditions, and that has some impact on our mental health as well.
So let's not talk about dementia, but I want to talk about the other D word, which is depression, and that's something that you are getting into a little bit here. Is it something that's avoidable, treatable? Yeah.
Well, number one, what's important to know is that depression is not normal in old age. In fact, older people who live in the community are considerably less likely than younger people to have a clinical depression. That's little known. People think that's, if you're old, you're likely to be depressed, and the reason that people think that is that in our society, in which ageism is rampant, there's an expectation that you must be unhappy if you're older, because after all, being older is not a good thing to be. And it's just not the case. Again, depression is not normal in old age. In fact, it's rather uncommon. Clinical depression affects maybe 5% of older people who live in the community. But for those people who do experience a clinical depression, it's very important to deal with it in some way. There are treatments which can be helpful, but there's also cautions about the use of medication, particularly for older people. As I'm sure you know, and your listeners probably know, increasing increasingly mental disorders are treated with medications, and effectively in many cases. But as we get older, dosing of medication becomes much more complicated, and so we need to be very cautious about the doses that we take if we're taking antidepressants. And we also need to be concerned about other potential side effects. For example, older adults who take antidepressants are more likely to fall. And falls are the greatest cause of disability and premature death in older people. So this is not an anti-medication message. It's a be cautious about medication method. There are psychotherapies that work. There are several different types of psychotherapy that work, several different forms of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as something called interpersonal therapy. So there really is some hope for good treatment out there.
You know, I'll tell you, my mom, who at age 87 felt depression, and she had gone through a lot of hard times, but never depressed. And I have to give her a huge, huge applause that at age 87, not coming from that kind of culture, she immediately went for help. And it was very intervention, and it was very short, and it worked. So the only thing that I can say is get the help and get out of
your... What kind of intervention did she get?
Whatever she got, she wasn't supposed to talk to me about it. That's true.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I was very, very excited that she told me that she did it. It was about 6 or 7 weeks. I know it took about 6 or 7 weeks. I know that it was available to her in her community in New Jersey free of charge through the Area on Aging. And this is seriously important for folks who, in her generation, it was terribly stigmatized. Even to see somebody in a group therapy would have been a stigma. So I have to give her big applause for doing it. I want to go back, though, to what you said about ageism and happiness. All the happiness studies show that older adults actually are happier. And what's your take on that? I always think perhaps it's just that there's a feeling of you know who you are. But that's a little touchy-feely. Is there a reason that's a little bit more scientific or sociological why the happiness studies actually show very well for older adults?
Well, some people say that the reason that we're happier when we're older is that the children have left home and we can have life again.
We are rid of them already. Okay.
I'm sure you know that story about the argument about when life begins with different religious views and the rabbi who says, well, we believe that life begins when the children leave home and the dog dies. So that could be it. Retirement, of course, relieves an awful lot of stress. The other thing to say about this, which is not quite so positive, is that depression is associated with premature mortality. So that those of us who survive into old age are probably people who were less given to depression to begin with. So that's another reason why.
Another take in that is interesting. I mean, we're always talking about nature nurture, and in terms of longevity, one of the things that we're proudest of in the aging community is that it's becoming less and less a matter of genetics. When I first was writing and researching about financial gerontology, you have to look and see how old people might live. About one-third of their longevity potential had to do with genetics. I just noted that this year, it's about 20%, which means that the way you live, the way you conduct your life, even how much money you have, how much spirit you have, who's around you, is getting more and more important. But there are people who are clinically depressed, and I would assume that you're right, that you know they have less of a longevity potential. But let's go and talk about that right now. Do you think that the ageism, we have something here called the ageism police. We're speaking with Michael Friedman, who is a MSW. He's a professor over at Columbia University School of Social Work. He's the chair of the GMHA, Geriatric Mental Health Association, New York. Do you think that this business of being looked at differently, becoming invisible, is a mental health issue or a cultural mental health issue for older adults?
It certainly can be. You know, we should talk about what it is that makes it possible for people to, as you put it before, be happy in old age. I like to talk about well-being in old age. A number of different expressions that are used these days to talk about this. Successful aging is one. Healthy aging is another. Well-being in old age, just aging well. Whatever terminology we use, it's interesting to think about and to try to understand what makes it possible for many people who are older, as you say, to be even happier than people who are younger, despite what most people in our society think. So I think it's something that we probably should talk a bit about.
You know, one of the things that is important here and why I love this show is it gives us a chance to talk about things that nobody's talking about right now. And we're going to come back. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of things here that has to do with what you called successful aging. I thought I made up that term. I love the term successful aging. Why? Because it's an achievement. To me, the ability to be a success in something is unique when we talk about it with regard to aging. You mean to tell me that you can make a plan to age successfully or do certain things that help you age successfully? I think the answer is yes, yes and yes. One of them that's rarely talked about, Michael, is our own well-being, mental well-being, and how it is holistic. And while that seems, you know, like an old-fashioned word, holistic, it's true. Don't you go anywhere. Maybe we can help you be happier, they put.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
877-657-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. 800-213-9256. Again, that's 800-213-9256.
Biz Talk Radio.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and we are back with Michael Friedman, and he is an MSW, and he is a teacher over at Columbia School of Social Work, as well as the chair of the Geriatric Mental Health Association in New York. And we are opening a dialogue. We're opening a dialogue that I hope we will never end, and that is about geriatric mental health, well-being, and happiness, a topic we rarely ever cover because it is really, it's almost like, you know, lightning in a bottle, hard to get. But I mentioned successful aging. That's the term I use. Michael told me during the break, hey, there's been research on that since 1980, and even more interesting research on happiness and well-being more recently, and he began to tell me about it. So, Michael, let's go back to that conversation. You were talking about objective and subjective well-being when it comes to aging. Tell us about that study and what it showed.
So the notion of objective well-being is that you're healthy and not particularly disabled, and you have friends and people in your lives, and you are able to engage in activities that you find satisfying, pleasurable, and meaningful. And by that standard, most older people, I among them, I'm 74, by the way, so most older people are not aging well objectively because we experience many chronic health problems, and we most of us experience some decline in our abilities as we go along. But subjective successful aging means quite simply ask people, how you doing? How's your life? What do you think? And if you do that, the vast majority of older people, whatever their problems with health and however diminished their abilities are, say, hey, my life is okay. And that's subjective aging well. And what characterizes that? And the answers are really quite simple. Aside from the fact that people who feel good about their lives generally have a positive attitude, okay, that's simple. But the rest of it is also not too complicated. These are people who have friends and people in their lives who they care about and who care about them. And these are people who are engaged in activities that they find interesting and satisfying and meaningful. And if you have people and activities, that is the major source of happiness in people's lives.
You know, many years ago, I did an e-book. I was commissioned to do an e-book for a telephone company, and it was called Just Keep Talking. And the reason they wanted it was they were putting out a special telephone for older adults with big numbers, and it had a personal emergency service, but mostly it was big numbers, and it was enhanced for the hearing issues. And in doing the research for the book, Michael, I discovered a Harvard study that said that if you have more than six friends, I'm not endorsing this study, I'm telling you what it said. If you have more than six friends, you'll live 2.5 years longer. So I quickly went out and I got myself six friends as fast as I could. But that's what you're doing.
Imagine if you had seven.
If I had seven, who knows, I could live forever. But the point
is that
you know, what we want to do is we want to be engaged. And now we get to a very big issue, and that is the issue of isolation. I can't believe that that's something you haven't touched on in the issue of geriatric mental health. Isolation has got to be a big issue, particularly in New York.
It is a very big issue. We have to be a little careful in defining isolation. Fairly often studies about isolation use as a measure that people are living alone, and that's not a good way to understand isolation because there are plenty of people who live alone who have friends and who get out and about, and they really are not isolated. Isolation means people who are significantly cut off from other people and significantly cut off from activities that give them satisfaction. And of course, isolation is both a contributor to and a consequence of depression and anxiety. So the link between social isolation and mental disorders is very important.
I think it's also
we were
a big
talking
link
earlier
link.
About treatment,
yeah,
and you know, one of the fundamental facts, it seems to me, is that almost the most important thing to do with somebody who is depressed is to help them get connected.
Yeah. I think that it's even more than just connected to illness. It's connected even to death, the kind of isolation that you're talking about. And
I think
one
that's
of the
true.
Things. Yeah, I think it is true, and I think that, you see, this is why it's such a holistic and connected issue. The AARP has a map, and that is a map called the Age-Friendly Communities. It's all over the country,
yeah.
and different communities trying to show you and prove to you why they're age-friendly. And most of it has to do with being able to walk, meeting people, having these connections. Now, a lot of it is on the web. You can go to meetup.com, but that's a young person's game. As you get older, much older, in your 80s and 90s, if you have not already become wired, it's very difficult to do, and you can become isolated. Now, have you looked at an issue I have found, which is, particularly in urban areas, neighborhoods change. And because neighborhoods change around you as you age, there are not people necessarily speaking your language anymore. They're not eating the foods that you can, they're not selling the foods that you know. You don't know your shopkeepers anymore. And isolation comes very slowly. It's not necessarily somebody who's in a rural area and nobody's around. That's often very connected people. So it's deceptive who becomes isolated. And how do you look at that from your clinical point of view, from your social work point of view?
Well, as I said, social isolation has terrible consequences in people's lives. It can be an outgrowth, as I also said, of a clinical problem, but it certainly contributes to it as well. We need to work to counter social isolation whenever we possibly can. That can, of course, be very difficult to do. There are objective conditions that make it difficult. People who are homebound, people who are living in neighborhoods that they no longer feel safe in, and many of the things that you said. One of the things I'd just like to add to that is you were talking about the AARP Age-Friendly Initiative, which is a very important initiative. Some years back, we wrote an addendum to that to talk about the what needs to be included to address mental health issues in an age-friendly community. So one
so
part of
come
that...
When we come back, Michael, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss two other things, getting wired And what about when is it time to go into a community, whether it's assisted living, whether it's over 55 community, active adult, whatever spin you want to put on it. Some people, you know, they're just holding on to the rafters there. They won't leave their home, and yet they're getting more and more isolated. Is there a time that you make that move just for purposes of having more friends and having a social environment, or can you simply do it like the kids do it? Online.
You
we'll be talking about all these things. We'd like to read it. We come back.
It doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories. New ideas turned into businesses. Programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Biz Talk Radio.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and we are talking about mental health. Mental health, mental well-being, all the positives, all the negatives as we age. A very rare occasion to speak with Michael Friedman, who is not only instructing our youth when it comes to all of this at the Columbia School of Social Work, but is also the chair of the Geriatric Mental Health Association in New York. Got a lot of personal experience with mental health. He freely admitted that he was 74. I'm turning 70 next year, so we know the ropes. But even so, you have to be able to look at it from an objective point of view. And Michael was telling us that the AARP study, which is a wonderful website on age-friendly communities, really needed an addendum from his group on mental health and age-friendly communities. Tell us a little bit about that, Michael.
Well, as you said earlier in the program, we very rarely talk about the mental health aspects of aging. Physical health we focus on all the time. And then the age-friendly community focuses on very important elements of what it takes to be able to live well as an older person with some limitations in the community. What we thought was not included was recognition of a need for, number one, access to good geriatric mental health services. You had mentioned that your mother got some very good care along the way. Well, that's rare. It's very hard, even for people who want it. It's very hard to find it, even in service-rich areas, comparatively service-rich areas like New York City. Finding competent geriatric mental health providers is very difficult. In addition to that, most people who go for, who do get some help with their mental health, get it from primary care physicians, and primary care physicians are actually quite poor, by and large, at providing the kinds of services that older adults need to address their mental health. They're not great at younger adults either. So that one of the important needs is improvements in the primary care sector so that they are better capable. And then beyond that, what are the conditions, as we've been talking before, about well-being in old age, happiness in old age, pick your term, and that needs to be addressed, and it's not just having sidewalks and places to shop and so on and so forth. It's also having access to the kinds of activities, particularly, that help people to find a sense of satisfaction in old age. Personally, I'm very interested in the arts as one of the things that contributes to that, but there are many other things.
Well, let's talk about the arts for a moment. We have a lot of people on our show that deal with creativity as we age, the fact that it seems to flare up. It's a wonderful experience. The older we get, the better it is. We've even had people who are in hospice and how the poetry and the art pours out of them But me, I'm the world's greatest spectator. I can't do a thing. But I love art and own it and go all over the world to see it. However, I've even been in museums, in nursing homes, in memory ward situations where they have a museum, yep. Art museum. It makes a difference. There's no question. But let's take a look at that. You know, it's easy to say, let's go to New York City, let's go to Chicago, let's go to Paris. It's great. But people live in communities, and they may want to go into smaller homes in the same place. How would they look and appreciate the art that's around them? Have you been able to see whether the AARP has vetted some of those communities for, we'll say culture, it doesn't always have to be fine art. Is that one of the things that makes a difference as we get older? I personally think it is, but on a more global basis, I just made that up because I like it. Are you seeing that more and more, that people are going to places where the arts and the culture is greater than, let's say, other areas where they may have used to live? And they're looking for that?
You know, I don't know whether AARP includes that in its conception of an age-friendly community. I just don't know. I certainly agree with you that arts, either as a maker of art or as a spectator, as you call it yourself, that both of those can contribute enormously to a sense of well-being. This is something I've written about. And also, I am a semi-professional photographer and a semi-professional jazz piano player, so art is a very important part of my life.
I actually am a spectator. So I'm going to use this to go on to a topic that's one of my favorites, and that is getting wired. We talk about being isolated, but when we look at kids, and sometimes we grumble and say they only know how to talk to somebody online. But I think that there's a whole world of age tech out there that can help people be less isolated. Now, on the art, just as a personal thing, I really am a spectator. I have no talent, not a bone in my body, but I always wanted to be a curator. And, of course, it's not the way the world took me, but I've been looking online, and I have found 100 different volunteer activities I could do to be a docent at museums. And so that's my way. That's the way, as I age, I'm going to integrate with the arts. But I would never have been able to find these places, ever, if I didn't get on Google and see what was going on. I have to be wired to find out what in my life I can bring to my life. What are you seeing in the world of the older adult? And is it part of what sociology is looking at in our ability to use the internet, Twitter, all the things that keep the rest of the world connected? Because we're talking about isolation here for the moment. That's one way of getting connected.
I confess that the world of technology is not something that I'm really proficient at. I see that there are programs going on to help older adults learn how to use computers and learn how to do email and learn how to go online in the way that you're talking about. And I have to believe that that's something that can be beneficial in the long run. But as I say, it's not something that I know great deal about.
One of the things I'll tell all our listeners, there are programs in most senior centers, even the most old-fashioned senior centers has Learn the Computer class, and they're free. And sometimes they're a lot of fun because they're reverse mentoring when young people are coming in and showing you what to do. So it also has an intergenerational component that I like a lot. So get out there. I always say get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is something you can make happen. And I don't want to hear, I don't like it, I can't do it, it makes me nervous. I once saw a guy take the mouse and put it on the screen. That's how he started. He didn't know what to do with that mouse. Now you can't get him away from his computer. He's playing golf online with other friends. So, you know, anything can happen. But I do want to go to a tough question, and it was a fail. I gave everybody, Michael, a success in my mom's aging. Now I'm going to give you a failure. She would not move into an assisted living community, and she did die in her home. I always have felt unnecessarily. my listeners have had an earful on this one, Michael. What about that? When can we say to ourselves we may be happier if we are in a community and we move ourselves into a community that has a little bit more...
I think there are several things that need to be said about this. The first is that this is a highly personal matter. And there are people who happily move into some form of assisted living when they're still in their younger old age and very active. I have a couple of friends who moved into a wonderful place when they were in their early 70s. One of them still an active psychiatrist, and the other having moved to things like being a docent, and he joined the board. And so they decided early on that was for them, and they were anticipating they would need it later in life. There are other people who just absolutely will not leave their home, and that's what they want to do. Again, it is such a personal matter that it's hard to say. Now, my personal view, and it's something that my wife and I are dealing with personally right now, is that at some point it probably will be better to be someplace other than in our apartment.
So I'm going to take
there are
a little
number
bit
of reasons
now.
For that.
Yeah, well, I'm taking a little bit of a break, and I would love to hear those reasons, and then I'm going to reveal to everybody what my decision was when it came to all this. And as usual, we have a wonderful website. It's called GenerationBoldRadio.com. You have a place there to ask Adrian any questions you would like, but also to tell Adrian what your decisions have been, because this issue of where we will move is one of the most important for our own mental health and well-being. And it's stressful. We'll reveal our choices. Don't go anywhere.
Freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
So this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth, the fountain of truth about aging, and one very, very big truth is now we're confused as to where we're going to live. There's a buzzword. We call it aging in place. Today, every big developer is building homes all over the place for aging in place. But eventually, issues of mental health, being isolated, neighborhoods changing, getting a little bit more frail, kids moving elsewhere, friends passing and loss. All kinds of things can change the fact that your aging in place may not be the right thing to do. Maybe you should aging someplace else. And the communities that are being built for that specifically have all kinds of euphemistic names. Active aging communities, all the way to assisted living. So Michael Friedman is with us. He is not only an MSW, but he teaches MSWs at famous Columbia University School of Social Work. He is also the Geriatric Mental Health Association's chair in New York, and he gives a lot of thought to these issues, and he has a lot of influence when it comes to these issues. But he freely admits he's struggling with the question himself. So we promised you before the break that we'd reveal some of our thoughts about it, and I don't know that either of us have made decisions. But, Michael, how do you and your wife go about thinking about moving versus aging in place?
Well, first let me just say I find the terminology aging in place to be quite misleading. What we should be talking about is helping people to age where they want to age, and a lot of people prefer to leave where they've been living and go elsewhere as they get older, sometimes for assistance and sometimes for weather and so forth. So it's not aging in place that's important, it's aging where you want to age. And then to move on to your question, I'll just tell you this story. My mother died on her 101st birthday about a year and a half ago, and she lived in a life care community which was quite spectacular. and she died the way that she wanted to die, quite peacefully, with her family around her and with lots of people who she knew very well and who cared about her at the facility. Even though she had substantially lost her memory, they knew her, and there was a lovely feeling between the two of them. And we knew that she was out and about until a couple of weeks before she died. Living down the hall from us in our building, a woman in her 90s, very wealthy, who did not ever want to leave her home, and her family arranged for her to stay in her home, fully demented, with 24/7 wonderful home health workers who came in to stay with her. She died recently, and she died alone, essentially, except for the home health workers who came in. And that has given my wife and me pause to consider whether that's how we want to die, or we would prefer to die in the situation that my mother did. And it's, I think, a very important question, not just for us, but for a great many people. As you have pointed out, lots of people want to sort of hold on and just stay where they are until the very end. People want to die at home. Well, what does it mean to die at home? Just to be in your apartment with home health aides, or does it mean to die where your family can be, and so on and so forth? So I think these are important questions that we have to ask, and my wife and I are trying to figure this out now. In addition to the concern about isolation at the end of our lives, we also don't want to become a burden to our daughter. We have only one child. In families with more than one children, in my experience, it's always one child who steps up.
Anyway, that's right.
Anyway. And so I don't, you know, we're not unique in that regard. But we don't want to be a burden. And so we're thinking that we, at some point, soon enough, to make it, to be able to make the decision, maybe we should move into some sort of community where we can have the kind of assistance that we're going to need without having to turn constantly to our daughter and disrupt her life. So that's
so,
what we're thinking.
My take, see, I'm a huge proponent of congregate facilities. Huge proponent. And I believe that my mom would have been like yours. She would have gone from 92 to maybe 102. I'm realistic. I would want her to last forever, but she wouldn't. And she would have been able to see my son's marriage, my daughter's graduation from college, her getting becoming a big deal in Hollywood and all kinds of good things. And then she missed all that. So I don't think that dying at 92 in your home, everyone says, oh, that was great. No, it wasn't great, and it was alone. So I do believe in congregate facilities, but I'm also very angry because every time we would go and look at one, there would be some 10 people in a wheelchair doing nothing, drooling in their laps, and these were expensive places, and I say this freely. The idea that we don't care how we greet a new member in these facilities is what turns people off, because they are much better than they look, and they.
Well, some of them are better than they look.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry to interrupt. But some of them are better.
Yeah, some are terrible. I agree.
But you have to have money.
Well, that is
so
true.
This is a big issue in all of this. You know, my wife and I are both retired social workers. We live okay, but I don't know that we can afford some of the places that we might want to go. And we're a lot better off than the majority of people in America. And if they're going to choose to go someplace, they're probably going to end up in places where, since they will spend down their assets rather quickly, they'll end up having their care paid for by Medicaid. The facilities that they go to are often facilities that are really not desirable at all. And so that's the other side of this story.
It truly is. You know, I'm happy to tell everybody that at 12:30 today, I'll be meeting with somebody who runs a wonderful group, Congregate Care, talking about just that, Michael. How do you pay for it? Show me the money. So that's why I love this show, because every aspect of life interrupts ourselves and integrates with each other. We have to interrupt ourselves. We have to look at how do we pay for what we really want in life. But before we figure that out, we have to know what we really want. And hopefully you'll tell me what you want, guys, at GenerationBoneRadio.com. Meanwhile, thanks, Michael, and for everybody else. Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at BizTalkRadio.com. Biz Talk Radio.